You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
A Super Smiley Adventure is brought to you by State Farm.
I'm Smiley the dog. I am a mutt. I'm Smiley the dog. I'm super smiley. I am a cat, two sweets, the travel kitty. I'm a good girlfriend. Angel's really pretty. I have a pony and we share a big horse. We have a big car. Yeah, we have to, of course. I have a wolf. In the summer, I stay cool. To a fountain, live in the mountain, live high on the hog. Need to be a spokes dog. I'm Smiley the dog.
Woof and Super Smiles. Welcome to a Super Smiley Adventure on Pet Life Radio, the largest pet radio network in the world. I'm Megan Blake, the pet lifestyle coach, here with my possum sidekick, Super Smiley, the ambassador of kindness for the Animal Film Festival. As the pet lifestyle coach, I travel the country with Smiley, helping people adopt the right pet for their lifestyle, and then help train them so they keep that pet forever. And here on a Super Smiley Adventure, we explore adventures where animals lead. They can be journeys for animal advocacy, for adventure and fun, and they almost always lead to paths of inner discovery and greater bonding with our pets. And Super Smiley, my co-host, as the ambassador of kindness, works with inner city kids with his Kindness with Super Smiley program, teaching kids kindness through animals. And now he's got two more way cool ways to plant the seeds of kindness. One is with his little one-minute film short where this shelter dog discovers his inner mutt superhero for kindness. Mark Winner, our producer here on Pet Life Radio, wrote and produced Smiley's new kindness song for the film, and you can share kindness around the world with us. Just watch it at kindnessfilms.com and share it to share kindness around the world. And the second thing Smiley's up to is the absolute way coolest. Our new national sponsor is State Farm, and we love them because they love dogs. They don't have breed-specific prejudices, and their bite prevention spokes dog is Ellie the Pit Bull. And there's more. State Farm trains and administers the heroic arson dogs, and they work with the amazing Victoria Stillwell. And here's the drum roll. Super Smiley has been named their ambassador of kindness in their coolest in the world new campaign. It's the Canine Assist Team. Now, you might notice that the acronym for that is CAT, but the team consists of five dogs with baseball cards and way cool messaging, including Super Smiley's new kindness movie. Now, you can visit them at the State Farm Good Neighbors website. So you have to admit it, those are the coolest sponsors ever. Thank you, State Farm. And speaking of the coolest, we have such an amazing guest today. Our theme always lands on how inspiring animals are. And regarding celebrating the human-animal bond, you don't get any better than this. The National Museum for Animals and Society was created just for this. And today, we have with us Carolyn Marino Mullen, the founder and executive director. Carolyn Mullen has worked in children's education for over 14 years and has extensive experience in animal protection, working on huge issues as the organizer for the historic ballot initiative for humane farms banning gestation crates in Florida. She coordinated the Northern California campaign banning gestation crates and battery cages. She ran the West Coast branch of Farm Sanctuaries Education Department, and she's been involved in all aspects of museology and has a bachelor's in religious studies with a focus in religion and nature. Carolyn, you're right up our alley. Welcome, Carolyn Mullen.
Thanks so much for having me.
Carolyn, we are so excited, and we respect so much people who find their personal loves and who literally create a place in the world to do what they were meant to do. And you are one of those people. First, tell us about your background in animal advocacy.
Sure. I think I'm no different than a lot of people. I think as a kid, I had this natural affinity for animals, and my mom was just the sweetest and really saw that at an early age and wanted to nurture that. So I went to nature camp and zoo camp and you name it. She welcomed animals into the household, even though she's not an animal person. And it was all with that intention that, hey, my kid's going to grow up to be a veterinarian. So yeah, that's kind of a long and short of it, I guess. You know, but it wasn't until I got to college and high school and I started getting involved in animal protection causes that I realized that you could do so much more for animals than just become a veterinarian or work at a zoo. So it's really been, spiraling since then. And I just kind of found myself needing to start this museum because there wasn't a museum like this.
I love this. I love this. And tell us a little bit more, because we've had about your actual activism and how important legislation is, and just a little bit more about what you've actually done to advocate for these animals. Because we've had groups from the people from the Humane Society of the United States who are very active in legislation. So we all can participate and be inspired by you. Tell us about some of the programs you worked on.
Sure. So I was working at a veterinary clinic in high school, after school, and I ran into this kid who went to school with me, and I asked him how his day was, and he tells me that he had just gotten back from gathering petitions. And I said, well, petitions for what? And he said, for pregnant pigs. And I thought,
what?
So I was a vegetarian. It made a lot of sense to help animals in need. And I got exposed to what was happening with Floridian Stewart Humane Farms, which is really backed by Farm Sanctuary and the Humane Society of the United States.
Yes.
So this is really one of the first ballot initiatives for farmed animals. And so I think they were really testing the ground in Florida to see if this is something that could be a springboard for other states. So specifically, this initiative took 2 years. So I spent 2 years virtually every weekend gathering signatures. I personally gathered about 8,000 signatures in that time.
And what year was that? Carolyn, what year was that? Because you mentioned this was one of the first initiatives kind of testing the waters. When was this?
Yeah, I believe it was 2002.
Okay, cool. Wow. Yeah. About a little over, my gosh, like 13 years. Very, very cool. Yeah. And then also you have a background in religion. I just want everybody to know you. That's why I'm asking you these kind of background questions. I love that animal advocacy aspect as well as activism, getting the ballots passed and that type thing. And you also have a background in religious studies, which at first glance may seem the opposite of activism. So how do you combine those two? How do they work together?
Definitely. Well, it was interesting. So I was just happening across, the college bookstore and found all these books, and they resonated so much with me. And one was Ishmael. Another was Peter Singer's Animal Liberation. Another one's Christianity and Animals. And I'm just like, what course is this? And it happened to be a course in religion and animals. I know. So I took that course, and, you know, one question in religion leads to like 1,000 more questions. And before I knew it, I was getting my major in religion and nature. But it was just so interesting. The University of Florida, where I did this at, was the first university in the country to kind of have this specialization. And you can even get your PhD in this subject. But for me, it was on a personal level, it was really important. I could never identify, being raised as a Catholic, my mom's Mexican, so of course we were Catholics, to find animals in my place in that world. So looking at religion more broadly and seeing how it can nurture our innate compassion and consideration for animals was really important. So it's very exciting. And with the museum, we're doing an exhibit on religion and animals. So I think for a lot of people, it's going to be really important on a personal and a spiritual level and even a social level to know that, you know, our religions, no matter where you are, do support this ethic of care for animals.
Absolutely. They do in my mind, 100%. And you remind me so much, you mentioned the Humane Society of the United States as I did. So you probably even know their faith outreach director is Christine Gutleben. And she had a very similar story. She loved farm animals and she loved religion. And she went to college and studied both. And then she ended up actually creating a program, a job, a whole division for herself at the Humane Society of the United States to do what she does. And so now you have created the National Museum for Animals and Society. So now tell us about the museum. We're all caught up. Tell us about what you're doing now.
Sure. So the museum started because there wasn't a museum for animal protection. Every other social justice movement in this country, whether it's for women's equality and suffrage or civil rights or even the labor movement, they all have either their own institutions or are represented in a larger museum, such as the Smithsonian's American History Museum. So you can go to that museum, you see the lunch counter of the 1960s.
Yes.
You see the suffragette outfits they wore during the Victorian era fighting for their right to vote. But there's just nothing when it comes to animals. And I don't get it. I mean, we're a nation of animal lovers. We've always been this way. Our movement to protect animals started around the same time as a lot of these other social justice movements. So I never understood why there was this disparity, I guess. You know, and I mulled around on this idea of starting a museum. Like, honestly, who in their right mind does that? You know, it just seems like such an outlandish idea. But I decided to, you know, get my master's in nonprofit management. I figured if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. And started working in different museums. So I've worked at children's museums, science museums, and art museums, just so I could have a better footing going into this. So now we're 5 years into this, and we're opening up our second building, which is kind of exciting. We outgrew our first one, and now we're expanding to a new, bigger building. So that's kind of the long and short of why we started.
That's amazing. And you mentioned your buildings. We want everyone to know that you are based in Los Angeles. And I am so impressed with everything you just said, especially the part about how you had your out of the box. I think you said that like you might have thought you were out of your mind, something like that. But that's where when people really go past the boundaries and start something new, this is when social change really starts to happen. And when you're so on the leading forefront, and I really honor you. I applaud you for that. Yay. And this is not just a museum where we go look at paintings and we want to, you know, where we just walk around. You're very active. We want to hear more about your programs, all about the Animal Film Festival, where Super Smiley is their ambassador of kindness. I know you know their director, and you have a gala coming up and so much more when we come back. Smiley, can you wait? Good boy.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
State Farm, this is Andrea.
Yeah, what if I get into an accident in, say, Accident, Arkansas?
Anywhere in the U.S., State Farm has you covered.
Uh-huh, and if I hit the only tree in Lone Pine, California?
We'll send a tow truck right over.
What if I get dinged in Denton?
North Carolina or Texas?
Both.
Then we'll send two trucks.
Well played.
State Farm handles more claims than any other company. Over 35,000 per day. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back on a Super Smiley Adventure with Carolyn Mullen, the founder and director of the National Museum of Animals and Society. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hi. As I just said, I love your mission and just adore what you do. And one of our main questions and topics is about animals as healers and teachers. Now, I usually ask people what animals have taught them personally, but I want to ask you a bigger question, and I love the way you expressed it on your website. And I quote that you're examining our dynamic and evolving relationship with non-human animals. So what have you learned and observed about our human relationship with animals as a human species? How have animals intertwined with us, and where are we going with them? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think it's a very complicated look. I mean, I think our museum in general is probably the most difficult museum you can do. I mean, we're not one demographic, you know, it's not like the African American Museum, and you're looking at a lot of different species who are affected in a lot of different ways. So it is a complicated thing. But one of the things I do enjoy looking at and nurturing within our own museum is this ethic of care and seeing animals as companions and healers. One of the exhibits that we did that I think was most touching and I think so poignant for what we're doing. I think this museum is an underdog museum in some ways, right? We're championing animals who tend to be neglected.
Right.
We're championing this movement that tends to get neglected or belittled. And when you think about the human-animal bond, I think most people don't see that bond as they might with the homeless. So we did a whole exhibit about My Dog is My Home, the experience of human-animal homelessness. And even for me, I had to check my own judgments at the door when we decided to do this exhibit. And it was amazing. We had a social worker who worked on Skid Row, and we followed the lives of four homeless families in Los Angeles over the course of a year. And at the end of that year, you know, we got to know these families very well, and three out of the four found permanent housing, and they really attribute it to having their animal companions and their their lives. They felt like they had a reason to live, a reason to get up, a reason to be responsible, and, you know, just a friendly face in the world. You know, it can be so lonely and so trying on the street. So to have someone who's there for you no matter what, to really have love that does not end. I mean, it's just this
amazing. Now, can we go see this? Is this an art exhibit or a film documentary? What is that? Because that story sounds amazing. I would love to check that out. How can we see that or be a part of that?
Yeah, so it debuted in our Hollywood Museum back in 2013, and now it's viewable online at mydogismyhome.com. You can go there and see it, and it's largely kind of a video narrative, so you follow the lives of these people just like we did in Los Angeles. But there is art, there's historical components to the exhibit, so you can see some antique postcards from the 1800s. I mean, this is not a new thing. People have been homeless, and for all sorts of reasons, right? And you think about natural disasters, too. Like, we talked about Hurricane Katrina. You know, people find themselves on the streets and without a home for all sorts of reasons, and what happens to the animals in their lives because of that. So, yeah.
That is so important. I love the title, too, My Dog is My Home. And can you say again the website or the link? I wasn't quite sure I heard that. I want to make sure that our listeners get that. Where can we go see that?
Mydogismyhome.com.
Oh, that's it. The title. Oh, wonderful. Very, very cool. Well, I am absolutely going to check that out. And I also mentioned the Animal Film Festival. And I know that you and I both are big fans of festival director Shelley Frost. We want to give a shout out to Shelley Frost. And you had last year a day or a little mini film festival. Can you talk about that as one of your programs as well? You do so many things.
Yeah. We did. We had Shelley and JP Novak from the Center for Animal Protection and Education, CAPE, come down to Los Angeles and screen a smaller version of their film festival. Normally, I think it's a two-day extravaganza, but we just did one evening, a few hours. And I think we did it over 2 days. I mean, just kind of two evening segments, but it was wonderful. And I think Los Angeles is such a great city because you have so many animal lovers, and it's a cinematic city too. So you have people who are really interested in this sort of thing. And it was just wonderful to bridge, I think, films from across the world. You know, we had one on rhinos and, you know, how do we save rhinos and all the different approaches you can take. I mean, do we farm rhinos or, you know, do we create sanctuaries or do we ban rhino hunting? I mean, it was a very thought-provoking film. So I love that that exists, you know, and I think it's kind of like the museum. You just think, hey, this doesn't exist. We need to create it. And you don't know the audience you're going to reach. You don't know who you're going to touch and how that's going to spiral into something positive.
Absolutely. And we love the Animal Film Festival in CAPE as well this year. And last year, Pet Life Radio was their official media sponsor. So we love that. And I was a judge last year and they've asked me back this year. And for 2 years in a row, Super Smiley has been their ambassador of kindness. So we love them. The Animal Film Festival rocks. So, and also back to your museum, you have events at the museum as well. For example, tell us about your humane education programs. They're in the museum, but they're also out in the world. Tell us about that. First of all, that's a relatively new term. What is humane education and why do we need it? Let's start there.
That is a complicated question, complicated answer. Of course, we did a whole exhibit about the history of humane education, and we called it Be Kind, a visual history of humane education.
Love it.
And you can see it online. Yes, you can see it online at bekindexhibits.org. And so humane education was wildly popular. So, and it's at its simplest and, you know, at its most basic, it just says, let's be kind to animals.
Yes.
So how do we nurture that idea and that mentality in children? And so in this late 1800s, Victorian era, you see a lot of humane education going on. There was a youth group called the Bands of Mercy, and there were over 70,000 chapters of them across the United States. So just like the Boys and Girl Scouts, you had the same thing, the Bands of Mercy, but for being kind to animals. So that gives me chills when I think about how many kids were actively involved in humane education. But
and that was, did
forward,
you say that was in the seven, when did you say that was, the 1800s?
Yeah, mid-1800s. And then
that's amazing. That's amazing.
World War I, World War II. Yeah, but now you fast forward to current day, and humane education is very in-depth. So you're connecting a lot of different issues. It generally still maintains a good focus on animal protection, but you notice that animals are tied into the environment. The environment is tied into human welfare. So humane education kind of ties that all in together and shows youth, you know, how you can't help one without helping the other, or how if you help one, it tends to help the other as well. So that's wonderful. So we do a lot of humane education at the museum. We do art classes that foster that kind of innate curiosity and love for animals. But we go into classrooms and do programming too. So I'm actually going to go to a Catholic school in June, and we're going to be making cat toys for the shelter cats. out of recycled material, so that should be kind of fun. And just talk about how to interact with companion animals, you know, what's the best environment for them, how to do enrichment with your dog or your cat, how you even approach a dog. I think a lot of kids just don't know how to do that properly yet. So, yeah.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I mentioned State Farm is working with is bite prevention. And it's just, it's all education. Like you said, everything works together. And that's another reason the Humane Society of the United States, they're trying to give a good economic basis in our country and around the world for that matter, so that kind treatment of animals and compassionate treatment works within the economy. And it's all a big picture, right? It all fits together. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Sometimes money speaks quite loud.
Right. And you have different disciplines. I saw that you have humanities, social sciences, earth sciences. Can you tell us how you actually, this sounds like curriculums, how your curriculums there at the museum. Talk about those a little bit.
Sure. Every exhibit has age-appropriate Common Core standards and reinforcing curriculum. And so they tend to incorporate lots of different disciplines, whether it's an art assignment or, you know, something more scientific or research-based. And I think one of the fortes of having a museum is that you're looking at objects. So object-based learning is kind of interesting, and you're infusing history in that, which I really appreciate too. So yeah, if you go on to any of our online exhibits, you'll find curriculum. We did an elephant exhibit last year, so you can find curriculum about that and the ivory trade and how to help the situation. So yeah, it's wonderful to be able to offer those resources.
Oh, it is. It's so wonderful. And I saw one that was titled Work It, Thinking Outside the Box. What is that? I didn't really get to read about it, but I like the title, intrigued me. Work It, Thinking Outside the Box. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's the idea. It's kind of like career day.
Okay.
So and it's kind of my thing, right? You don't have to be a zookeeper. You don't have to be a veterinarian to help animals. So
yes.
I'll even take something like a magazine from, you know, Farm Animal Sanctuary and be like, okay, how many people do you think it took to be involved in publishing this? Right? Uh-huh. So you need a photographer who's taking really great photos of the animals. You need a great writer to write all the articles in this magazine. You need a graphic designer who's going to put the layout together, you know, and you need money to print this. So who's going to raise all that money to make this magazine happen? And so you just start thinking like, okay, there's all these different ways that I can help animals. So if I really like writing, I can pursue that as a career and apply that to animals. So that's kind of what the Work It Humane Education talk is all about.
I love that. I love that you're a museum and you're really out there changing the way people think. I love that. And I want to hear more about everything I saw on your website. I saw Bunny Mania, Crazy Cat Ladies, and your first ever gala when we come back. You're going to tell us about that when we come back on this Super Smiley Adventure. Smiley, can you wait? Good boy.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back, right after we kibble a little with our sponsors.
Remember when you swore you'd never get married, never have four bedrooms and a minivan, and never have...
twins? We're having twins?
And then never happens, and becomes the things you never want to be without. For all the nevers you now want to last forever, State Farm is there to help protect them, with everything from life insurance to college savings and more. And that's the difference between just having insurance and having a State Farm agent. To find a State Farm agent near you, call 1-800-STATE-FARM or visit statefarm.com.
Hey everybody, this is Tim Link, the host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Got some exciting news for you here today. My audiobook is now available. Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail is now available in audiobook form through audible.com, amazon.com, and iTunes. It's a collection of 32 conversations I've had with the animals. It's a fun, interesting, heartfelt book that's suitable for all age groups. So everybody pick up a copy of the audiobook, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. You'll be glad you did.
Amazing Pet Expos is coming to a city near you. Admission is always free, and your pet is welcome. Shopping, adoptions, free nail trims, discounted shots and microchipping, agility, a pet costume contest, and much more. Plus, meet the guys from Animal Planet's hit TV series Tank and Pit Boss. Online at AmazingPetExpos.com.
Bring your pets to the Pet Expo.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Drew. We're the Property Brothers, and we're on a super smiley adventure.
And and we're back on a Super Smiley Adventure with Carolyn Mullen, the founder and executive director of the National Museum for Animals and Society. So, Carolyn, first, I saw the words bunny mania and crazy cat ladies. Tell us what were those? Tell us where I love your titles.
Sure. So bunny mania was an art exhibit, a fundraiser art exhibit that we did for the museum. And we invited one of LA's most celebrated art critics, Peter Frank, to curate it. And I guess they call him the white rabbit. If you've ever seen him, he's very pale in skin color, which I think is kind of funny. But he loves bunny art and he's always wanted to do this exhibit. So it was wonderful to really challenge artists to submit their artwork around bunnies. And bunnies have had this very long legacy in, I think, the arts, you know, and thematically, you're thinking Alice in Wonderland, the white rabbit. I mean, there's just bunnies in all sorts of ways, you know, in pop culture too, you know, in children's books, Peter Cottontail. So it was wonderful to do that. And we partnered with Margaret DeMello from the House Rabbit Society. And so she wrote all the text for that. So really looked at bunnies in many different lights, you know, and this idea of house rabbit societies and looking at rabbits as house companions or companions in your household, you know, instead of relinquishing them into, you know, like a little cage in the backyard.
Right.
You know, it was a great bridge between, I think, the animal demographic and the art world. And I think that's what this museum is so great about doing, is bringing different types of people together with mutual interests.
I love that. And I love also the way that you select people that are so renowned in their areas and they bring so much expertise and fabulous new ideas. It's just really, really fun. And oh, and Smiley's little film, his new little kindness film, there is a bunny. So I want to give another shout out to the bunnies here.
All right.
And that was done by, actually, that's part of the animation, which was done by Out of Our Minds Animation Company. So thank you, Animation Studios. So thank you, Out of Our Minds, for that. And oh, Super Smiley, we're here in Malibu and we ran into the beautiful soap opera star Tracy Bregman. We love her on The Young and the Restless, and we were in acting class together with the amazing Jean and Tony Bua for years, and she told me about your gala coming up. So tell us, what do you have coming up?
Yeah, so that's just in a few weeks. It's our first gala, and we are so excited to have Tracy with us. And so we'll be honoring her. We'll also be honoring the founders of START, which is a rescue group that takes animals from high-kill shelters here in Southern California and transports them up to the Pacific Northwest, where they have a better chance of getting adopted out. And then our third honoree is Moby, the musician and DJ, and a great friend of the museum. He's been to a number of our exhibits, and we just love him. I mean, and he's another kind of pioneer who uses his talents and his, I guess, arenas of influence to help animals. So, you know, I know he named one of his CDs called Animal Rights. He's opened up now, he's about to open up his second vegan restaurant. So, you know, very multifaceted individual. Love him very much. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me just interject about Moby. I want to hear more about your gala, but we were just at the Humane Society of the United States annual gala last weekend, and Moby was there, and he spoke on stage so eloquently and so passionately, exactly what you just said, Carolyn, and they had an auction with a live auctioneer, and they were bidding on something, and Moby said that he would give $75,000 if someone would match it, and immediately someone matched it. So I'm just saying that this is putting everything, your resources, your talent, your music, your inspiration, your challenges out there for the animals, and he does it in such a positive way. So I just want to second what you said about Moby. We absolutely love him. And then now back to your gala. First of all, that's like totally fantastic, all the things that you've said, but where is it going to be and when? Tell us that. Let us know the details.
Sure. It's at the Olympic Collection in West LA, right off the 405, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. Yeah.
So people in Los Angeles or in the area, or if they want to come, how would they get tickets, or where could they find the information on the internet?
So you can go to our website, museumofanimals.org, and you'll see right on the homepage the big gala, you know, button. You can click that. All the information's on there. We'll have a gourmet vegan dinner, comedian, and magic, and musical performances.
Oh my gosh. I so wish I could be here. Super Smiley and I are going to be on the East Coast at Blog Paws and doing some other events on the East Coast, but I'm so sorry we're going to miss it, but maybe next year we can be there. I would love to be there, and we'll definitely come by and check out your museum as soon as we get back from the East Coast. And for those listeners who aren't in LA, and I won't be in LA at that time, and who aren't able to visit you, you know, your actual museum, do you have any ideas for them as to how they can participate in humane education or how they can bring awareness to their community? What can people do that are listening who are all around the country?
There are so many easy things. So a couple of things. If you have kids within your own family or your network, we have coloring books that you can download off of our website and print off at home. So cool. We have one that, one about wildlife in the city. So, you know, even going to feed ducks, most people don't even know that you shouldn't give them bread, that that's actually very harmful for them. So this coloring book introduces you to the idea that, hey, you can feed them corn, you can feed them tomatoes and lettuces, and they really enjoy that. So that's a simple thing people can do. Another thing we have is a recommended reading list. I mean, there's so many wonderful titles out there, you know, in children's literature that instill this affinity for animals and just impart humane education themes. So you can buy a couple of those titles, donate them to your library, get them in the circulation, make sure kids are reading them. Maybe you partner with your local library and do a reading hour. There's some really fun programs that I've been seeing around different cities where you can actually bring in your therapy dog, right, and have little kids read to the dog. So it's kind of working for both ways, right? The dog gets all this love and attention and the kids get to practice their reading skills.
I love that. I love that. And Super Smiley, speaking of therapy dogs, he's a Pet Partners therapy dog and has done reading work with the children with this kindness campaign. And we would love to come down and maybe do something with you all. That would be so much fun. We have the Super Smiley Flash Mob for pet adoption and all kinds of fun things that we take around the country. And that would be so much fun to come down, Carolyn, to your museum and participate in some way
that way
as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. That'd be so cool. And I want to invite everybody can find these programs on our social media. Contacts at MeganBlakeOfficial.com. So we'll be hooking up together with that, Carolyn. That would be wonderful. And Carolyn, we've talked about how humans have evolved with animals. How have animals affected you personally? What have you learned from your personal pets?
Wow, that's a great question. let's see. I mean, I have a cat. I'm down to one cat. I had three, all from the same litter. And I have a dog. I never thought I was a dog person. I thought I was an independent woman. I'm going to have an independent cat, all that jazz. And then I get my first, I don't even try to keep this dog. I found her wandering the streets at the sanctuary where I was working a long time ago. I was the only person at the sanctuary who didn't have a dog. And she picked up on that right away. She's like, you're my human. And that was it.
They do.
I couldn't. And I am such a better person for it. I mean, it's just amazing. I have to meet every single dog and I'm bonding with everyone who has a dog. And I never would have been like that before. You know, I'm more of a people person, I think, because of my dog. So I have to say, I'm so much better off for having animals in my life.
That is so interesting what you said, that you're more of a people person for having your dog. And you know what? I agree 1,000,000,000% because we go to the cafe. Like we said, we ran into Tracy and people come over to pet the dogs to see Angel and Smiley. And we just talk. Mm-hmm. And when people come over to talk to you and your dog, there's just like there's a reality. There's like a loosening. There's a relaxation. You've already bonded on a certain level. Do you find that? It's just a whole different dynamic. Do you find that?
Definitely. And it wasn't that I wasn't a people person before, but I'm just so much more now. I think animals, you know, our guard is down. I think you're right on the money there.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I'm happier. I approach people with a smile on my face and that, I don't know, it's nice to be in that state of mind. It really is.
I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we continue on our show here, I want to right now give a huge thank you to our amazing producer and the co-founder of Pet Life Radio. So a huge Super Smiley shout out. And thank you to Mark Winter, our super producer. And also, like I mentioned earlier, to our fabulous national sponsor, State Farm. So be sure to check out the Canine Assistance Team, which is an acronym for cat, which is very, very funny, at State Farm Good Neighbor webpage. And speaking of State Farm and bite prevention, Super Smiley just did a super blog for Sargent's Pet Health Central on bite prevention, ways to recognize a bite may be coming, and ways to head off bites before they are imminent. And our Pet Health Central blogs are at supersmileyblog.com. And that's part of your humane education too, right, Carolyn? Ways to interact with pets, with animals that we encounter all the time, right?
Oh, definitely. And our museum is animal friendly, so people can come to the museum with their dogs. Uh-huh. Yeah, and there's only one other museum that I know of in the country that you can actually bring your animals to. So it's kind of neat. And I feel, you know, it's a good place to explore etiquette and, you know, how to approach animals, and especially when you get kids involved, you know. So it's a great kind of warm, welcoming space to explore that.
I love that. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I didn't even know to ask that question. That is super fabulous. I love that. I love that. And of course, we're inviting everyone to share kindness around the world with Super Smiley just by watching his newest film. And it's just a minute and a half long. And it's about a shelter dog finding his inner mutt superhero for kindness. I mean, how can you resist that? It's so cute. So Carolyn, we invite you to go watch that too at kindnessfilms.com.
Definitely.
And let's see. And oh, also that's going to be on Super Smiley's new page on the State Farm Good Neighbor site. And Carolyn, it has been such an amazing pleasure to get to know you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. And give us your site one more time. And if you want to give like a wrap up of what, you know, how we can remember, what should we think about when we think about animals?
Wow. Well, I will just want to plug one more thing. We're doing a Crazy Cat Lady show. So I think we're all crazy cat ladies to some degree or another. We are looking for cat rescue stories. So if someone wants to submit their story, they can find all of that information on our website, museumofanimals.org.
I'm so glad you said that, because when I mentioned the bunny mania, I also mentioned that I saw the crazy cat ladies, but we got so caught up in the bunnies, I forgot to go back to the cat. So what is this? This is something you're accepting right now? Because I noticed that you said that you were taking submissions for different things. And I love, to me, it feels like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like rather than going out and just curating pieces, that you actually involve the community by asking for submissions. Is that a good picture? Is that true?
Definitely, from time to time, depending on the exhibit. So Crazy Cat Ladies is one of the prime ways, I think, that people can right now get involved in the museum. So we are actively looking for those cat stories.
Crazy Cat Ladies.
If you ever wanted to be an exhibit, yeah, it should be really fun. But yeah.
I love that. And as far as the Crazy Cat Ladies, can people submit pictures, video, or is it just essays, just written word? What are you accepting?
We're primarily looking for photographs. We're open to video. And then we would like text accompanied with any of those submissions.
I love this, Carolyn. Your mission is just fabulous, and I cannot wait to come visit your museums. I'm going to be out of town during June on the East Coast, but when I get back, I'm absolutely going to call you, and I'm going to say, we're coming over. We're going to come visit you. I can't wait to meet you.
Well, we're just looking forward to having you. Thanks so much.
And let me say one more time, Carolyn Mullen is the founder and executive director of the National Museum for Animals and People. Yay, Carolyn! And everybody, be sure to visit our new Pet Life Radio blog at radioblogdog.com. Again, thank you, Carolyn, for joining us on Super Smiley Adventure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we hope everybody enjoys all their adventures with their pets. And until next time, woof and super smiles.
Let's talk pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
State Farm, this is Andrea.
Yeah, what if I get into an accident in, say, Accident, Arkansas?
Anywhere in the U.S., State Farm has you covered.
Uh-huh, and if I hit the only tree in Lone Pine, California?
We'll send a tow truck right over.
What if I get dinged in Denton?
North Carolina or Texas?
Both.
Then we'll send two trucks.
Well played.
State Farm handles more claims than any other company. Over 35,000 per day. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state.